Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning and repeating the same intro. Yeah? Mo? Maybe? Okay. I don't know. Hey, we're the gaming podcast. Overseas Connection podcast. Yeah, that's what we do.
Put a lid on it.
I know. Put a lid on it. We're done. Yep. That's it. No, we're not going to talk anymore. No,
shortest show ever.
Yes. Episode 631 of your Overseas Connection podcast. And it is the 16th of May, 2021. We're going to talk video games today. We're going to talk about some of the gaming news that's out there. We're going to talk about what we've been playing. And of course, a little bit about what we've been doing the past week. I am one of your confused hosts today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Joining me today, two lovely individuals, not ginger in the least, starting with the first one, Kim Woods. Kim.
I'm perpetually confused, so there you go, you'll have that. Yes, hello from rainy Missouri. Yes, it's rainy and cloudy and gross today, but we'll get there. I think we're supposed to be 70 by the end of the week, so...
Yeah. So you're going to be like we are today.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Shut up.
Okay. Fair enough. Also joining us on the podcast. And look, we know it's fake ginger, but we've still got Robin Tate on the show.
Hey, hello.
Wanting to play the part of the ginger.
Yeah. Do you know what? You say there's no gingers on the show, but are you sure about that? I mean, the collars and the cuffs have to match, and obviously, you weren't looking that closely at me in London.
I know. Well, there are things that are true there, Robin. Yeah. I purposely did not look that close, yes.
Hello to both of you wonderful parrot people, you.
Yeah, well, hello to you as well, reigning in from Bellamina, Northern Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, see? Look at me helping out. We're going to talk about games in just a bit. First, we're going to talk about birthdays. And here's the truth. We don't think there anybody has been born this past week or the upcoming week ever in the history of the world. Therefore, there's no birthdays to talk about. We are on twitch.tv, OC podcast. So just twitch.tv/OC podcast, youtube.com/OC podcast. I feel like I'm out of practice on this. And it's probably because I took last week off. It was a lovely time, by the way. Yeah, I'm just going to say I didn't regret that. I had a lot of fun. We'll talk about that as well. All right, let's just dive into it. Let's get into it. If you're here, awesome. If you're listening to us audio-wise, you can always come join us live, 4 p.m. on the West Coast, 3 p.m. Central Time Zone that nobody really cares about, 9 p.m. in the U.K. We keep it status quo. Here we go. Let's talk about what we've been doing in life this past week.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Wow.
Exactly. Let's just shake out, relax, and getting ready for a fun show. Robin,
yeah.
There's a lot of things on your list of craziness here. So I'm just going to get you. I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to get you out of the way. So let's talk about what happened your past week.
I don't say much generally. So,
yes, you're very quiet usually.
30 seconds, you know. as you say, that's an arbitrary figure. I'm on my journey with my rum. Yeah, and we had some friends over last night. And... he bought a bottle with him. You know, it was the worst one of the evening. The Copenberg Dark Fruit.
Okay.
Which is just, it's your Benadryl cough medicine is kind of what it was supposed to be. It was, like cough sweets that were fruity, dark fruit. It wasn't good. But we started off, of course, with my my favorite and the one that I love the most, which is Bumboo, which is my spice rum. And I find that very, very hard to beat. So I'd already had a couple of gins before that, and a glass of wine or two. And yeah, so we had the glass of that, and then I had a glass of the Copenberg, and then I brought out my expensive Kirk and Sweeney 18-year-old dark rum, and this beautiful, beautiful bottle, and we finished off that. And that was just me over the edge. I was, the last one pushed
me. I feel hung over just listening to you.
I know. That pushed me over the edge. Unfortunately, some of the things that I do when I get that way in bed, the last little bit, you end up buying a few things that you shouldn't have.
I'm curious to see what happened here.
Well, last night was really, really no different. I was on TikTok. I went to bed and I went on TikTok, yeah? So, I seen this device. I just thought it was the best thing ever. Bought a machine to make balls out of rice.
Do you make a lot of rice balls?
No, but it seemed like the most important thing I needed to have last night at about 1 in the morning, that I had to buy this thing that you put, it's like three little compartments, you scoop in some rice, and you shake it like a Polaroid picture, and the rice ball is ready. And I just thought that was the most fantastic invention I have ever seen in my life. And I just had to have it in my life. So it's been ordered.
Well, oh my God.
Well, actually, I ordered half a dozen of them.
I guess
half a dozen?
Yes.
Are you starting your own restaurant by chance?
No, I just thought half a dozen, just in case one ever broke. I don't know.
Yeah?
No.
So I fell asleep. Of course, this is...
I fell asleep.
Yeah, this is to make sticky balls, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, sticky rice ball.
It makes balls? Does it?
Yeah. Now, Robin, balls? Now, of course, you do realize...
For the kids
you could
morning,
just... You realize you could have just cupped it in your hand and gotten a sticky ball that way, too.
I was 4-inch glasses of rum, 2 large gins, and several glasses of wine in. Anything was possible. Thank God I fell asleep. Because when I looked at the Amazon page I was on this morning, I was on a £1,200 3D printer.
Yes.
Yeah. But over the years, I've bought, paddle boards and other devices. It's been,
And last night was sticky balls. Sticky balls.
Half a dozen of them.
Half a dozen sticky balls.
Anyway.
Well, technically not sticky balls. It's a mold for sticky balls.
Yeah.
Not even a mold. It's a shaker. It shakes your balls up into balls.
To make sticky balls. I mean, if you wanted sticky balls, Robin, I think there's a few other easier ways to go about that.
Right.
Anyway, as being married for a long time and my wife tutting at me about having one too many drinks, you cannot show any pain or suffering on the following day. And I have to admit, podcast listeners, when I'm sitting down here to do this now, it's the first chance I've had all day to actually stop between looking after the kids and other bits and pieces. But I just felt myself just fading.
Fading.
Now that I'm among friends, I can fade. Anyway, so it was a good night's fun, good night's crack, good friends, good catch up. So that was one too many. Side note, Jasmine, we put her into a big bed this week. Because she was climbing. So over the last week or so, she's been climbing out of her baby cot over the top, like with the thump.
Right.
And coming in all smart ass. So we bought her a proper bed and she went, let me see, this is her third night in it now. And the first night I had to sort of get in maybe through the night once or twice for half an hour just to, tuck her in and get her back to sleep again.
Right.
But last night she slept all the way through and it's lovely. She's a big quilt and non-used mattress and everything. She's just cuddled. So that's went extremely well. It makes such a difference now to get a good night's sleep again. So
yes,
that's important. Okay. You got me back onto my mountain man, which I think I originally started you on. And then came full circle. And I didn't.
The master became the student became the master.
Yeah. And I didn't realize there was actually a book behind there because I've been listening to Make Me King. Which gusses back and they go back to the place in the mountain, blah, 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 blah. So really, brilliant to be back into that universe again. Love Gus. Love those characters. Yeah. So R.C. Bray, Mountain Man. It's a series of books about zombies and alcohol, really. And mattresses.
Well, I think you'll find it. Are you done with it, or are you still going through it?
No, I think I'm like chapter 40 or something. I think I must be very, very close to the end of it. It feels, you know, they're in the right. Anyway.
But I feel like I'll just say this. I feel like Mountain Man is kind of broken up into several parts. Like the first probably two books is really about the zombie apocalypse, but it really moves away from zombies and more into the apocalypse, so to speak.
Road warriors.
Think
Mad Max twats going around and people are going a bit crazy that way. And the zombies aren't really, they're there, but they aren't really a problem in this book as such, really.
Right.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Really good. Lovely. Just and again, yesterday or day before yesterday, I switched on Netflix and popped on the screen that fantastic second series of Love, Death and Robots. And
yes. Nice.
The first season, this is a whole series of like miniature shorts, something like 10 minutes long, 15 minutes long at most. Some of them are animation. Some of them are really good CGI. Some of them are real people. And all some quite dark, some quite sexual, some quite funny. And I've watched about six of those so far. Have you watched any of these yet, guys?
I have. I've seen the first two. Yes. I'm into the third one. The first two. The first one is brilliant. I loved the first one.
Really, really good.
Second one's okay.
Yeah. And there was some that were just hit and miss, weren't they? You know.
Yeah.
Now I love that first one. There's one about Santa Claus. It's quite a short one. Okay. It's probably only 5 minutes long. Two little kids here in Santa Claus, and they go downstairs. And yeah, I'm not going to say any more, but there's just this, the last line in that one is just fantastic because it just says everything about a child's mindset and everything. Oh, it's just wonderful. So check out Love, Death and Robots on Netflix. It's really, if you haven't seen the first season, you're in for a real, real treat there.
Yep.
And now the second season's out. It's really, really good. And I think that's about me. I've been again busy, life shit and all that there, you know. Judith got her car back.
Excellent.
All nice and shiny. It's the most extreme way to get rid of flies in your front bumper. to a whole new front bumper. But that's all hunky dory. And things are normal ish. I was in Dublin one day this week as well.
I had
a lot of traveling this week.
Yeah. We'll talk about the normalness in just a little bit as well on my side. But before we get there, let's go to Kim. Kim!
Yes?
Exciting times. You're not just going to be babysitting anymore.
Yeah, right?
Of course, I'm talking about the Xbox Series X.
Of course. Yes, I finally managed to get a hold of one of those slippery little bastards. So,
may I ask, where did you get it? What site?
Microsoft, their website, their store.
Ah, okay.
So,
okay.
Yes. Which I was freaking out a little bit because it's said pending like since I bought the darn thing, and I was a little concerned about that. But I guess it says pending up until they get your money, because my money is still sitting in my checking account. So, but I bought it like I don't know what day did I buy it? Thursday. I think it's Thursday. Thursday night,
I think
maybe.
They typically don't charge you until they go to ship it. Do you know? Yeah. Do you have a ship date?
The 19th.
Okay. So I would suspect days before that you'll get charged.
Yeah. Well, that's what I figured. I figured too, with it being the weekend, they probably wouldn't want to mess with it until like Monday. So I'm trying not to freak out that it still says pending because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, there is money in that, you know, bank account. So, you know, but I got another deal from PayPal today. It says they're authorizing it or something like that. So I'm like, all right, we'll see.
Awesome.
So, but I have a backup payment thing too. So for some odd reason, they reject the one.
Ching.
Yeah.
Thing. I've got a backup payment thing. I've got a big plastic pipe in the backfield full of cash.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exciting. So I'll you know, there'll be a big to do when it finally gets here. But other than that, it sounds like I finally have an end date for when, well, I won't be working quite as much. So it sounds like maybe July will be the last I watch Colton because they will be moving. So, and they'll be like an hour away from me. So it's not really convenient to drive an hour to drop him off and then, you know, whatever. So hopefully come July, I'll have a little more free time so I can game with some more of you people. Hopefully. And speaking of which, I broke out of my habit a little bit. Friday night, I didn't go to bed at 9 o'clock. Shocking, I know. I actually stayed up and played some Xbox with other people.
So, oh, really? I mean, we'll get into obviously what you played, but back in the multiplayer saddle.
Yes, a little bit. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it wrecked me totally Saturday. I had to have a fucking nap Saturday because I was exhausted. Because we didn't stop playing till almost like 11 o'clock, and when you're used to going to bed at like 9 and then getting up at like 4:30, you know, staying up till 11 o'clock and then getting up at 6:30 because apparently I can't sleep in anymore. That kind of sucks a little, but you know, I'm working at it, and I'll eventually, you know, I'll get back in the groove a little bit. So it was fun. So there was me and Boomer and. Well, Mike was supposed to show up, Breischler, but I think he had to work the next day, and some things happened, and I didn't get to get on when I said I was going to show up, because we had friends show up. That being said, the monolith is gone, so apparently I couldn't get him talked into letting me keep it for a weekend. He decided he had to have it back.
Yeah.
So, you know, right. It happens. So my own is coming
people.
Soon. Yep. Right? So, yeah, multiplayer. I will soon be back, and like I said, once July happens and I will no longer have to watch a two-year-old all day long, hopefully.
So now I'm assuming you were gaming back on the 1X.
Yes.
So how did it feel to go back?
You know, it wasn't much different because I really didn't get to play on the Series X all that much. I think there was only a couple of days in there because I was kind of looking forward to Friday because I didn't think they were going to be back for vacation until Saturday. Yeah, well, they decided to come home a little bit early, so I didn't get the opportunity. But it was all right. I mean, like I said, I'm excited. It's on the way, so.
All right.
I will know the goodness soon enough.
Good deal.
Fabulous.
I guess that leaves me.
It does indeed.
Yeah. So I'll kind of go back. So last weekend we took off. Colin had a sleepover with his daycare. And so we live close enough to Lake Tahoe that we can get out and do like a 2-hour drive to get to Tahoe. And so we decided to do that. We went and got a room at Harvey's in Lake Tahoe, had a fantastic view of the lake, just absolutely gorgeous. And went up, had dinner, went out, did a little bit of gambling, to be perfectly honest. We weren't feeling the whole gambling thing all that much. It was really just about getting out and away. And so we didn't do a whole lot of gambling. We did, you know, kind of just piddle about and go walk around the town and do some shopping, that kind of thing. We ended up finding a cool little restaurant called the North Shore Cove. But they made the craziest big Bloody Marys. And I shared a picture of that with you guys in the WhatsApp. Just insane. I mean, they threw everything into it. It had carrots, celery, jalapenos.
At one point last week, we thought you were away with someone called Bloody Mary.
Yes. But yeah, it was nuts. It was like a mini meal in and of itself.
The correct answer there was no, Nancy was not with us.
I can't say anything, Robin. But yeah, so I really enjoyed our time in Tahoe, came back, and it was funny because it was this weird feeling of, it felt quasi-normal, but because, you know, anytime we were indoors at that point in time, you know, we're still wearing masks, and there's something about being in a casino with your mask on, it just does, it to me, it takes me right out of a mood to be in a casino. And so I was just kind of like, yeah, no, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to sit at a blackjack table where I have to have a mask on and they hand me a cocktail. I could take a sip and then I have to put the mask back up because they don't let you just keep it off. And so it just ultimately was like, you know what? When we are at the point in time where restrictions are lifted and we can be mask free, then I might be more in the mood to gamble.
So what we need to get you is a mask with a hole for a straw.
which totally defeats the purpose of a mask. But okay. People were doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
Back early in the whole pandemic thing, I remember people were cutting holes so they could have a straw. And I'm like, that defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, yeah. But sure, it's pointless anyway. So.
Yeah. But hey, you know, it's been announced. The CDC has said if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. No. The CDC said that. The White House were a bit surprised the CDC said that. So the White House then got in line with that. Of course, they say that follow your state mandates is the other thing. And of course, our governor mandated that on June 15th or sometime thereafter that the mask mandate would completely go away. So who knows? It's all, but at this point, everybody, it is becoming the Wild West when it comes to mask wearing within California. It's kind of comical. I say wear it if you want to. If you don't want to, it's your choice. At this point, you take your own risks. There's that. Of course, being respectful of others, sure. But we all have our own, I think we can all be sensible about it. Let's just put it that way. And I also highly, 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 very opinionated that if you're outdoors, you do not need to have a mask on. I do not care where you are outdoors. You don't need to have a mask on. Shut up. Nope. I'm not hearing it.
There are irritations to me now. Irritations are, well, of course, the solo driver with a mask on.
Okay. Yes.
There's also the YouTuber that does his intro in a parking lot, say, going into Universal Studios. With a mask on, outside.
Right.
Or he's solo filming himself with right. a mask on. I don't understand that. That's not a real irritant. Yeah. The righteousness is strong in quite a lot of people.
But again, if you want to wear your mask, to be perfectly honest, I don't. Yes.
Knock yourself out.
Be safe. And I say this going forward. This is, you know, because honestly, during flu season, I might even wear a mask. Because I will say this, I didn't catch a cold all this past year. It's probably one of the most healthiest years I've had in a long time. So there is something. Maybe it's because I was washing my hands 5,000 times a day. But still, there was something to it. Who knows?
You weren't dead.
Anyway, we move forward. Got back from Tahoe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I finished watching the TV series Condor. Which, if you have not seen this, this is a mini series. Well, it's I think going to be an ongoing series from Epics, at least in the U.S. I don't know who's doing it, maybe over on your side of the pond. But it's based on the movie 3 Days of the Condor. Really, really good. Really good series.
Not Charlton Heston. No, what do you call him? The film festival he has. Really good looking guy. He was in Sneakers. The main.
Robert Redford.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic movie. Really is.
Great. Yes. So this stars William Hurt is one of the actors within the series. But the young guy that plays the lead role is a gentleman. I've never seen him before, but he does a really good job. Highly, highly recommend this. I think it's about 8 or 10 episodes long.
Okay.
It's really, really good. Mm. And there's a lot of twists and turns. So Condor, check it out. Let's see.
Our mongoose is freaking out, Lord, at the moment. Sorry, he's giving him the death stare. Yeah, well, he's very intimidating. Yeah. So, but he is among us. He is among us, so we have to embrace him.
Yes, we do have to love the mongoose. I did get in a new toy this past week. Things. Ed 209 from RoboCop. He's articulated.
Cool.
It looks like it wants a USB at the front of it, like the
front. No, display. That's just the front grill. But he does. I don't know if you can hear that or not.
Just about.
Yeah, I'd buy that for a dollar.
It could be a lot louder, but I had to get it. I saw it. I was like,
I don't blame you.
Where'd you get it?
I got this on Amazon.
Oh.
So they had just released it. So yeah, I think Hiya Toys. H I Y A.
Why the frig can I not friggin' drunk order stuff like that? Fucking
rice. I don't know.
Instead, he gets rice.
But this purchase and another purchase that will be coming that I'll have to talk about next week because it's not here yet. is coming on the heels of last night. We went to dinner at a restaurant that's called the Bacchus House, which they have a bunch of Mark Roberts figurines for holidays. I don't expect you guys to know what Mark Roberts is. It's a very popular collectible Christmas fairies and Halloween fairies. And so my wife has an addiction, apparently, for this stuff, to the point that, like, I think we now have like over 30 Mark Roberts fairies within this house stashed away in all different corners of the house. Last night I took Colin out to the car. She went in to look at a couple of the fairies that were on display at this restaurant, because they sell them kind of as a storefront. And she ends up coming out with over $600 worth of...
She proceeds to tell me,
it's okay if you want to get something for yourself.
Greg, can we wind back one step?
Yes.
How much was Ed 209?
Ed 209, this Ed 209 was $50.
Oh, and you say what brand was it?
Hiya Toys, H-I-Y-A. Okay. They have made other versions of this. This is a re-release.
Yeah, there's one there at 100 quid. I'm looking at it, but it's not Hiya. It's the Good Smile Company or something. And there's a NECA one. Flip me. But wow. Okay.
Yeah.
50 quid, yeah. She could have as many balls as you want.
Pretty much. But yeah, so, and then just kind of rounding things out.
You take all the stuff back into the shop and say, get one instead?
No. I honestly just laughed a little bit. It was just like, you know what? It's her thing. But Friday night, then I every once in a while I get allergies. And it's really pollen dust allergies. And when I get a sneeze attack from allergies, I'm not a 2 or 3 sneeze person. I literally will sneeze 7 to 10 times. Easy. And they have been increasingly violent of late. And it's because the pollen, everything is just off the charts right now, because we're having it's early summer here. So the trees don't know what to do. So they're just dropping all of their pollen as fast as they possibly can, because they're like, this is all happening too fast. At least that's my story to it. But needless to say, Friday night, I get this crazy sneezing attack, and I go and I twist to grab some tissue in the bathroom, and I had a massive sneeze. And I literally pulled a muscle on my back rib. Holy crap. So now every time I cough or sneeze, it hurts like hell. And it's like this acute pain, like right in the middle of my back. And I'm just like, oh, this sucks. Yeah. I've never done that before in my life. And so it is just like, yes. Anytime I like try and clear my chest or whatever, it just hurts.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
This is an age thing, Greg.
Yeah, pretty much. I know. Shut up, Robin.
I was there. I know. And my back, I'm ready for my exercise again now. because I was for about a month there, a twinge, and I never had a twinge before. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Running
yeah.
Around like Ed 209 and limp.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I mean, I'm still like, I still worked out this morning. I could pretty much do everything normal. Just like certain movements will catch it. And then, of course, if I take any kind of cough or sneeze, it's game over. I'm like practically in tears. So, yeah.
We need video.
Oh, we don't need video. This morning. Totally true. And then this morning, just to really round things out, just to show you that I wasn't being stopped by this, I went out and I sealed our back flagstone patio area with sealer. So
good.
That's a, you know, and here's my recommendation. Anybody looking to do that, and this could apply to staining something as well. So sometimes, you know, I think the common thought is you're going to put it in a brush or you're going to try and apply it with some kind of manual process. When you get your sealer, or even if you're getting a stain and you're having to cover a large area, go to the hardware store, and they sell, you know, cheap, just disposable sprayers that, you know, that are, you know, they hold a gallon of liquid in them. and just fill it up with your stain or your sealer. They're pressurized. They'll have a spray nozzle, and just do that. And when you're done, toss it, because it'll be wrecked after that. It will not function again properly. But they're only like $8, so just do that. Save yourself a ton of pain in the ass, because you're not having to bend over. You're not having to scrub anything on. You just spray, apply everything.
So, is this stain you're talking about? So you get your stain.
So, stain is one thing. You could apply this for staining like a fence as well. But this was actually sealer. Different thing.
What was the thing that I had to put it into again? What was it? A cup? Pump?
No, it's just a sprayer. A spray pump.
So you had to get your stain into this sprayer and pump it so it wasn't a pain in the ass. There's so many words in there that are triggering.
I know. I was opening myself up.
Yeah. Just for you. Exactly.
So that was that rounds everything out for me. That's the week that was my life. And just work, by the way. Dear God, work has been insane. I do not get it. I'm not complaining, really. But it has been like every day, even when I think it's going to be an easy day, they're not. They turn into craziness.
I'm talking about it now because it's just accepted.
Yeah.
It's just nutballs. Just.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And for us, it looks like it's going to get busier. It's busier and busier as the year proceeds. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of nutballs, let's talk about games.
Woo-hoo! Said if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right.
Nice. I like it.
You see?
I saw what you did there. First, let's talk about the freebies for the second half of the month. Let's just kind of walk through that.
Alrighty. For your games with gold this month, we still have Armello, which is still out till the end of the month. We now have Dungeons 3, which is up till June 15th. And Tropico 4, which is available till the end of the month. Then we have, for your PlayStation, we have Wreckfest, Drive Hard, Die Last for the PlayStation 5, Battlefield 5 for the PS4, and Stranded Deep for the PlayStation 4 as well. Then we have Psychonauts, Cluster Truck, Gone Home, Titan Souls, High Hell, and I Hope for your Twitch Prime games. Stadia Pro, if there's anyone out there who's still doing the Stadia thing, we have Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince, Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, and Floor Kids. And last, but certainly not least, for the Epic Game Store, we have The Lion Song, which is available now through the 20th. So go get your free games that we play for. Or pay for.
What is Stadia Pro? I have one. How is it still a thing?
So here's a funny thing about Stadia Pro. There was a news story, and I don't have it in the news, but Stadia, I guess Google came out and said, nope, Stadia Pro is still alive and doing well. And you just wonder who they think believes that.
Who they're fooling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We shall see. We shall see how long Stadia can truly last. But I don't have a lot of faith.
Well, you gotta have faith. Do. You gotta have faith.
You do. You do.
I know you want my body, because everybody wants a body like me.
Robin, we're gonna start with you. Why don't you talk about the games with you, that you have been playing?
The game.
Let's talk. Yeah, let us know. I have to step away for a brief second, so I'll be right back.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about the leg-end edition of Mass Effect. It is now out, officially wonderful there. I had it pre-ordered, installed. It has Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 on it. It has 40 or 50 pieces of DLC, and I'm extremely ecstatically happy playing it out here on the Monolith. Yeah. On the Monolith, as it's now been called forever, and on my 4Ks of television, which is just there, 60 inches. Yeah, I wish. And it is wonderful to be back in that universe again. It really is. I know you're not a fan, Kim. I'm sorry. But I really
No, it's fine.
I do think you need to give it a go again. they have changed quite a few things on the leveling up system and stuff like that, and the controls for the refurbed version that might interest you more. It's more definitely more approachable. Okay.
Okay, I have a very important question though. Yes. In the first one, do they now have automatic save points, or do you still have to save them as you go along?
You can save it as you go along, but I believe it saves as well as you go too.
That was another sticking point. And I know that's like a tiny, small, like gnat's ass thing to pick at, but when you're used to them, you know, saving them automatically, and then, you know, you die and you've just beaten the whole big long stretch, and then you have to go back and do it again, it's a pain in the ass.
Now, unfortunately for me, I've only had a couple of hours with it, and I played through like that first full chapter again. Graphically, it looks great. It really.
That was my question: was how much of an upgrade does the first one feel? Because that's the obviously that's the game that it was the most dated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, does it feel noticeably different?
So there is the uncanny valley which Mass Effect always had. You know, they're mm-hmm. almost there, but not quite. There is that RPG thing where there are certain characters, everybody stands still. Yeah, the an NCP that doesn't do anything, you can stand there for days and they'll never move. But they're sort of part of the atmosphere. And you have to activate people to start talking. And it came out in 2007, I believe it was. Which is phenomenally old. So they've brought it back up to as good as I've ever seen it. You know, just particle effects, some of the space scenes. The first time you go into the Mass Effect gate. Yeah, that was the lorries. Trucks are not going past me. It's Kim.
I was just going to say, well, I think this is... Kim has had the most traffic on the road ever, outside of her house ever.
So, I'm going to bring it back. The first time you go through that Mass Effect gate is just friggin' phenomenal. Really, really good, because the spacey scenes look brilliant. I'm back as just vanilla Commander Shepard. And the first chapter, let's not do spoilers, but from playing it the first time, I only ever played it once, and I struggled with it like a lot of people did, and then I was encouraged to go back to it. And once I got past the first long, boring bit at the Citadel, which this first chapter definitely is, I got it. But it took me a bit of going back and bearing with, and it was sort of the old-style RPG thing. But I gotta say, that first chapter, what the hell, Kim? What's going on here? Jesus,
It's well, Kim has her window open, so I just have to shout her note. I've never heard so many cars going by her window ever. But yeah, so
from what I remember playing it the first time around, was there's scenes that stuck with me. So you go down to this planet called something Prime, Eden Prime, and there's been an attack on it, and there's a part of it where you see people on big, tall spikes. They go up and the spike goes through their body and holds them up really high. And that image, the first time I played, really, really stuck with me. You know, it really did stick with me. And because it was quite horrific.
Right.
And it is, and even more horrific now in beautiful 4K and all that there. So, yeah, the story, but loving it. I'm going to play a bit more tonight, hopefully, before I go to me bead. But lovely. One thing that has came up is I have always played the Mass Effect game as me, right?
Right.
So, so you don't less the sarcasm before you even start. So, accommodating me, try to be nice, treat people the way you'd like to be treated. And that's all. So, all of these options and questions that came up, that's the way I've tried to do it. And this time, I thought I'm going to try and do something different.
You're trying to be Renegade Tate.
I'm trying to be awkward bastard. Heartless.
Awkward bastard.
Heartless.
All right.
Heartless, heartless, heartless. So.
I thought he said awkward. Sorry.
Yeah, that too. Whatever. I'm going to try and take all of the negative responses possible. And I don't know if I'll be able to do it. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have no idea. So how do you?
I mean, some of the response choices. Typically speaking, I was like you, Robin. I would normally play, especially in Mass Effect, I liked to toe the line of trying to be kind of the ranger, good guy, you know, the sheriff coming to save the day, so to speak. I also found some of like the negative renegade choices, because I think that's what they call them, if I remember correctly. A lot of those just felt so not in my character, or even how a sane person would respond. I mean, like, you know, the reporter, I forgot there's a one moment with the reporter where you just said straight up punch her.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that was Mass Effect 2, I believe.
Yeah. But so that typically is not how I play a game. However, I have found through our D&D sessions, I have taken to being an evil bastard quite well.
He is kind of an asshole, but we like him anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here's the way I would play it is whatever is good for your character. And they call that, you know, the chaotic good, which is, or chaotic neutral, which is you just do whatever is good for you. Whether it's bad for somebody else or not is irrelevant. If it's good for you, then you do it. If it's not good for you, you forget about it.
Yeah, I'm a selfish bastard. That's it. That'll be it.
There you go.
Absolutely. I'm going to get myself some poontang and some whatever it is comes my way. I'm going to treat it mean and make them keen.
That's an Asian tea, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because at night time I can't.
See, I never could be the asshole. I've tried with Fable and all that. I can't. The only one like asshole thing I think I ever did was at the end of Fable 2, where you could pick between the towns to bring back the townsfolk or bring back your dog. I brought back my dog. I figured a lot of the townsfolk had already been gone long enough, and they were okay with it. You know, they were fine with whatever. I had just lost my fucking dog, and I'm like, you know what? That was my companion, my buddy, whatever. I'm bringing back my dog. So
that's some reasoning there. I don't think I gave it that much thought. I think the one area of Fable where I became quasi evil was at one point I started to grow some horns, and I quickly felt very bad about that. Like it did not sit well with me, and so I had to reverse it. I don't think I ever got out of being just, you know, like a little nub of a horn or a little nub of a wing type thing. It just, I never could go full goody two shoes, and I could never go full evil.
Oh, I went full goody two shoes. I mean, I'd screw everything in pants, but you know, I couldn't be the bad guy. So there was a.
All right. Robin.
Yeah.
Overall, though, so far, Mass Effect Legendary Edition living up to awesome. To expectations.
Lovely to be back in the universe. It looks fantastic. It runs really, really well on the Monolith. It looks fantastic on the big 4K TV. The story seems great. Looks like some nice improvements in the UI and the leveling up system. You can choose to go back to pure old style if you wanted it, but I haven't. I've got the new one, and it's going to give me my 50-odd quid. It's going to give me lots of entertainment for some time to come.
All right.
Good. Cool. I have heard some people say that it looks really good, but it almost looks too good, if that makes any sense. I don't know. It didn't to me much, but yeah, there are some that say the visual upgrades are just too good, that they almost take away from the gameplay. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not sure how that works, but okay.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Say that about me. We're like, you know, wow, look at him. And he looks fantastic.
Right?
He's taken away from the offer by being too good looking. I get that. I understand.
I can see that. Yes.
Yes. On that note, Kim. Kim, what have you been playing?
Watch me play games. Watch me Twitch. Watch me play games.
I'm going to kill us one day. Yes. I played Rise, and you've all heard me talk it. Nothing about that.
Sorry,
I'm...
Kim, before you start, she swore never to have me never to play that.
Yeah, I know.
Probably. Well, yeah, but, you know, she should have known better.
There's currently a contract out on your life in the United States. Right? I don't know if you know this or not, but yeah.
Provoking a
response. As soon as you set foot on your next vacation,
the clock ticks. Coming through security. Oh, my goodness, in December. Did you play Make Me Twitch, Make Me Nanny? Oh, Nicole!
Look at him! Anyway, I'm playing through Arise. I've got through, I'm at level 5 now, and I think there's 10 levels altogether, so I'm halfway through. I've also decided there are some achievements that I'm definitely not going to get, because there's just, the last level I did, you have to make it from point A to point B, and there are these little ghostly things that are like your sorrow, apparently, and you're supposed to go through this entire map without being touched by one. Yeah, well, I failed that fucker miserably. So I've come to the conclusion that, you know what, some achievements just aren't worth getting. So, right. And I'm kind of at the point now, it's not lost its appeal necessarily, but I'm kind of wanting to be done with it. So, you know, but I want to finish it because I want to see, you know, how it ends and what. Yeah. So, but for a short game, it's got like 34 achievements, and I'm like, holy cow. So there's that. And then, like I said earlier, I've gotten back into multiplayer, and me and Boomer the other night played Wreckfest.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Fun game. They have your, where you can set up your own server. So that's what we did. And then because you can have up to 7 people. Well, it was only me and Boomer, so the rest of them were bots. So we went around and did like the demo derby style. I think I did one race, and it was funny because I jumped in the server to do the race while I was waiting for him, and they attempted to kick me out, which is hilarious. Oh. So, yeah, right? Because it showed up my name at the bottom, and there was like one kick. And I'm like, oh, I see how that goes. They didn't get enough attempts to kick me out, so I stayed. So I'm sure that made whoever was mad, but I don't care.
So did you feel like I felt when I played it? Does it make you
But then I'm from the Midwest, and we have demo derbies, so yeah, you know.
But it,
so, you know, I.
It is a thing Americana, isn't it, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, like I said, I've never seen the Combine demo derbies, but I knew they had them. But yeah, so I had to try out the Combine. I had to try out the Motorhome. And, you know, it's fun. Like you said, one of these nights we can get, you know, 7 people or however many it is to get in there and play a game. I think it'd be hilarious. So.
I absolutely agree.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
So we played
it's
that.
A fun game. And I think it's just nice, you know. So whenever we play racing games, you know, especially like the Forzas, obviously there is hyper attention to not wrecking, unless you're me, in which case I try to wreck people, but and I get in trouble for that. But I mean, there is hyper attention to driving your line, not crashing into people. And it creates some anxiety for, you know, obviously for newer players, not the skilled players.
And for because, people that can't race, like, well,
So, you know, you're trying to avoid everybody. And so it's just refreshing to be in a game where literally you can do that and it's not a problem. In fact, it's encouraged.
Yep.
So, yeah, I do find in the campaign version, and this holds true for, I think, a lot of racing games, but once you get into second, really probably third position or higher, unless you screw up, you're not going to lose that race. You will find a way to win the race, you know, unless, I suppose if you have the difficulty cranked way up there. But I do find that in Wreckfest, the biggest challenge is, you know, when you're in the campaign mode, is getting through that opening lap of getting navigating through the masses, because they're crashing like crazy. And you will get caught up in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless you're careful. But once you get past that and you get into that top kind of echelon of the lead racers, it becomes a little easier to end up winning the race.
You need to up your difficulty.
Probably. That's possible.
From ultra, ultra easy, old man, to something a bit higher.
Yeah, maybe. maybe I'll try normal one of these days.
Well, do you know what? The only way we're going to get the community guys to play is to set a date. So we need to do that.
You know, I think maybe we try and do that. Maybe after this show, we can get together, hammer out a date. Yeah. Maybe it's next Friday or Saturday. We just have a little Wreckfest fest. A Wreckfest fest. Well, I guess that leaves me. So really the only game I've been playing this past week has been MLB The Show. I continue to really enjoy this game. I think you need to be somebody who likes baseball to enjoy this. Much like FIFA, you need to be somebody that likes to play soccer, to, you know, or Madden, any of the sports games. I think you have to enjoy that sport on some level to want to play it.
That being said, I will say, if you are going to play MLB The Show, absolutely pay attention to that opening tutorial where they talk about the different control schemes. And they let you try pretty much all the different control schemes for batting, for fielding, for managing things. And I first kind of glossed over it, and I shouldn't have, because what I found is that the control scheme that I set up on it and the way I was playing it, I wasn't actually enjoying it as much as I thought I was going to be. And then I made some tweaks to my controls, changed the viewpoint for batting. And so there's different viewpoints, and I actually do now, it's more of a zoomed in view. So it helps me see the strike zone better for pitches coming in, and it's made all the difference in the world. I also changed the pitching style from being the new version that they had in the game to the version that was there prior to this one, which is kind of more button prompt based. You pick the pitch you're gonna throw, you spot the area that you're gonna throw to, and then you pitch. There's no meters that you're trying to, you know, time it or anything like that. It just makes it a more enjoyable experience. I suppose it's a little more casual in that nature, but I'm fine with that.
I mean, paying attention to the tutorial is absolutely important. I find what really helped me with this game is I've done sort of research now, and I really know about this stuff. Just more on the edge, I watched Field of Dreams, and that really helped. I don't see the corn. And none of the fields that I've seen, I wanted the ones with the corn on the outside. But the one that's really learned the most from is that documentary called A League of Their Own. So,
Tina Davis. There is no crying in baseball.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think there is enough research material to get you to understand MLB.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Indeed.
So it's been good and enjoying it. And like I said, if you like baseball, this is on a must play list.
Yeah. Rounders, American Rounders. That's what it is.
Sure. Okay. all right. Let's move on. Let's get into some news bits, and we'll talk about some community stuff as well.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so I didn't post this news story because our community actually had somebody chime in about this. So Empower343 had shouted us out, actually a number of different gaming podcasts, talking about, it'd be interesting to see what the Xbox launch in China will do to sales figures. That's quite a large market.
Pronounce it properly, please, Greg.
China.
Thank you.
How impactful will China be? I don't know. And I say that because supplies are constrained as is. So how much they actually get into the new market. Same thing with Sony. Sony's already there, but I don't know how much actual supply they have to put into the market. So, I mean, yeah, it's a gigantic market. But two things are true. Not only do you have to have the hardware, you have to have the software too. And that's an area where I kind of wonder how well, these consoles can do in those markets. I don't know how localized any of the content is, either within the Xbox series or Sony's, consoles for China.
Just imagine the rules that have been set forward for them to have permission to sell.
I mean, and Sony and Microsoft were both in China prior to this.
I actually think this time no one will stop us this time. I actually think that Microsoft have as good a chance as Sony have in China breaking that market. Japan is almost as much of an enemy to China as the US is. So, it's on equal footing that way. So, yeah, of course, I don't know. So who knows?
Interesting.
Who knows if you're in the middle of China? Do they know about Sony in the middle of China? Do they know about the PlayStation? Do they know about Xbox and that stuff? So,
I mean, I have to think they do, because, I mean, one of the other things we've seen in generations past is a lot of knockoff. I was going to say knockoff. I don't even know what that is. But knockoff knockoff consoles have come out of China. But so the knockoff consoles have been there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how big of impact the actual Sony Microsoft consoles have made within China. But this could be a new way to spread more disease. So who knows? Yeah, I went there.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to watch. You know, the more they sell,
it is going
to
be
for everybody too. So,
I mean, I on one hand, I love the thought of actual developers coming out from those that territory in terms of making games from Chinese history and think of like The Last Samurai. Having something, coming out of China, built on Chinese lore and mythical history, that could be really interesting. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really early to tell. And with the supply constraints, I don't think there's going to be a huge dent anytime soon.
Yeah.
In the next 2 to 3 years, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, but a drop in the ocean over there is 20 or 30 million consoles, probably.
Yep. Right, but do they actually have 20 or 30 million consoles to actually give? Oh, I don't think they do.
Oh, maybe both Sony and Microsoft have been hoarding them to supply China.
Well, oh, that would be interesting.
That's why Kim hasn't got her big monolith that she can sit on.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. We'll see. let's dive into the other news stories. Xbox is celebrating its 20 years since its launch. Robin, so you had noted this. There was the Xbox 20 symbol was all over the place.
Yeah, I think we need to have a chat about this and where we jumped in with Xbox. I know we'll do it with Sony as well. But I mean, I have my... It's funny. Joshua had to shoot this documentary for his final exam piece. And
right.
He done it in here. There's a stool in front, and there's an OG Xbox there, and I actually watched the finished documentary today. It's now been submitted. It's really good. I feature in it quite a bit. How could it not be good if it had me in it? Actually, Greg, you're in it. Believe it or not, quite a few.
Okay.
People, quite a few.
Interesting.
All right. And then I've asked him for a copy, so I'll show it to everybody.
Yes.
But it was nice hearing him talk about it. Oh, that's where he started playing Xbox, and I introduced him to that OG Xbox when he was very young, and it was I loved that OG Xbox, the one that I
let's just real quickly, we'll just do kind of a pulse, and obviously we'll talk about these kinds of things as we go through the year, but so in terms of your jumping in moment, not to use their slogan for the console, but your jump in moment, obviously, Robin, I know it's with your OG Xbox. What was your first game you saw or that you said, this makes me want to play an Xbox?
Someone said, I have an Xbox for sale. I was a big PC gamer back then. And I've got this one, and it has a hard drive in it, and it's shipped, and it has like 1,000 games on it. And there you go. That's the one I bought. But the game that I was most impressed with on the OG Xbox straight out of the box, because I had loads, I didn't really buy that many games for it, dodgy man.
Right.
Was Need for Speed Underground. Is that the one that Nighttime
was in?
Yeah.
That we played that to death. We just absolutely played that to death. Absolutely loved it. Playing with Joshua when he was very young, all of the Lego Star Wars games, and in the end.
Okay, But to hone in, Need for Speed Underground was like your first jam. That was your first game where you're like, this makes me want to play Xbox.
No, not really. Because the Xbox was the kid's machine. It wasn't connected to the internet. It had all its games on it. It was stuffed. Okay. It was a dodgy one. It was stuffed with loads and loads of games. So really, I didn't really turn into a console gamer as such until 360. And that was Call of Duty. Online stuff was really...
All right.
It was all about.
So Call of Duty was really your tip-off point with Xbox, to speak. Call of Duty 2. And I'm assuming that was Call of Duty 2.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 2.
Okay. Yeah.
For me, anyway. And then I went back to the first one again and played that. So for me, yeah, the Xbox, that was, it was interesting because that was the first time I'd really had it. Yeah, we had a Wii beforehand. You know, that was the only console that we really had. In fact, the original one that I have is still here. So, yeah, it was a dodgy, a big brute of a machine, big console, but there was just something nice about it, being able to switch it on the way you went. I remember replaying the Half-Life on the Xbox as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting with Judith playing that in our old house and having her settle in with it. And of course, as Boomer said, you know, Halo as well, I suppose, was my first introduction to Halo.
Yeah, but so what I'm trying to nail down though is what called you to the Xbox, and obviously there will be something for PlayStation as well. We'll dive into that for a different podcast, but for the Xbox,
dodgy
Call of Duty for you.
Had a hacked Xbox and said, "I'm selling this. Do you want it?" And I went, "Yes."
Okay. Fair enough.
It wasn't a game. It wasn't anything like that.
Dodgy Xbox. Okay. You were just all about stealing. Okay, we understand now.
5,000 meme bombs on it and loads of emulator stuff. And loads of Xbox games. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's
Robin's new nickname is Dodgy Tate. Kim, what was your game that you saw, you know, for Xbox in particular, and obviously not taking Sony into account, Nintendo.
Yeah.
We'll talk about those in a different podcast, but what was it about? What game got you into the Xbox ecosystem?
Well, actually, kind of like Robin's.
Don't tell me you've got a dodgy
console. No. It wasn't a game so much. They did Mountain Dew, if you remember, when the 360 first came out. They did that every 10 seconds or whatever. Well, my brothers loved Mountain Dew at the time, and they had those codes on everything. So after a while, I got to collecting them and putting them in. And I won a 360 for it. And at this moment, my brothers are always telling me now that, you know, my liver suffered because of your gaming habits. Because they basically won. They basically got me my first 360. And that's what kind of dragged me back into gaming, because we had the PlayStation and Nintendo and all that stuff beforehand, and we kind of fell out of it for a while because I never had the OG Xbox, never got into that one. So I started with the 360. Probably, like you said, the game that probably really brought me into that, though, would have been Dragon Age Origins. Because we had Cameo came with the Xbox, but that wasn't really the game that, you know, got me into it. No. So it was the first Dragon Age that actually got me into that, and RPGs and the whole, and I just kind of went from there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here.
All right.
I just had a thought, Greg, just thinking about that. I think there's a reason. I'm just trying to work out why I started to go onto consoles, because I was such a big PC gamer. And that revolved around my office, because I had an IT company. So I was on the internet before it was called the internet, and we had internet services way back then. And I lived that for about 4 or 5 years that was there before my company, we sold it off, and the way it went on and became another big thing. But I think I kind of left, out of selling the business, I came away with, I kept a laptop. But I think I had 4 or 5 years of really intense work, like 18-20 hour days, 7 days a week, getting the business off the ground. And how we relaxed the odd time was we played some games, you know there. And I left all that PC stuff behind, and I think when I think about it honestly now, I think probably a few months after that was all gone, I wanted to play games again, and that's why I ended up buying a console and a Wii. And then the whole console thing started again. And it was, I didn't want to go near PCs.
And
I think you know, that's maybe, when I actually analyze it, that's probably why I can't be arse gaming any longer on PC. And I love the simplicity of it, because I had so much of that way back then. And there's negative connotations almost within me of the time when Joshua grew up, I was working. The first 3 to 4 years of his life, I really wasn't there. I was at work, and it was all PCs and internet.
Okay,
so that's probably why I went the console route after a while, after the business was sold, and wanted to get back into gaming again.
Interesting. Okay, all right.
Yeah, for me, so here's the irony. I was the biggest PlayStation guy. I used to play on PlayStation 1, on PlayStation 2. You know, I had been bought a PlayStation 2 at launch. So I was always into that. And mm-hmm. I had heard about the Xbox. And to be perfectly honest, I was just like, whatever. You know, it's not as good as a PlayStation, right? That, I mean, literally my mentality. Mm-hmm. And I was over at some buddies. We were hanging out, and one of them had an original Xbox, OG Xbox, and he put on Blood Gulch, which you may not know what Blood Gulch is, but it's a combat boat game, basically. And I saw this, and I was like, that's kind of really kind of cool. I was like, all right. And then he threw on Halo, and mm-hmm. and showed off Halo, and I was like, huh. And then I went back to the PlayStation 2, and I was playing, and I forgot what game I was playing. I want to say it was an alien related game, but it was
Blood Gulch was in Halo. Yeah.
Maybe I'm not thinking of Blood Gulch. Oh god, what the hell was the name of the game? It was a boat game. It was a combat boat game on the OG Xbox. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, that was what I first saw. But the important thing is I went back to the PlayStation and I was playing this shooter, and I was frustrated that the shooting, you know, the aiming and the whole analog thing just wasn't there. And I kept thinking about Halo. I kept thinking about how the shooting seemed like it was working. And, mm-hmm. and I had been playing on PC as well at the time, but kind of like Robin, my work has always focused around a PC and being in front of a computer. And so I didn't want to spend my off hours in front of a computer and doing that. So that's kind of why I was Bloodwake. Thank you. That's why I was gravitating towards console. And I ended up getting an Xbox, an OG Xbox, and that, you know, and Halo, I would say Halo was the game that I played, but the thing that caught my attention was Bloodwake, which when you look at it now, you're like, it does not look that good. But at the time, I was like, wow, mm-hmm. that's kind of cool. I don't have that on PlayStation. So, yeah. Go figure. Anyway, all right. Trip down memory lane. By the way, and, you know, we should give a shout out to the chats. I know there's at least mm-hmm. a couple individuals in there.
Yes, there is. Boomer, of course, and Lord has been in there. So,
all right, yeah. And by the way, if you're still listening, shoot us. You know, tell us what your first game was. If it was, you know, if you were on the Xbox, if you got into the Xbox, what that game was. And obviously, if you never got into Xbox, that's fine too. And you know, we'll be talking about Nintendo. We'll talk about our experiences with the Sony PlayStation as well, because there's definitely games that should be talked about for both mm-hmm. those consoles. All right, to the news. Not a huge news week, but there was some news. So Battlefield 6 apparently has just like sprung a huge leak. There is stuff coming out left and right now about Battlefield 6. But the main news story that came out is that it is going to be a cross-gen game. It is not going to be exclusive to the PlayStation 5 and the Series X. So it will be available on last-gen consoles. But they said that the future release will take advantage of the new hardware to improve physics and AI and the immersive nature of the game. A leak that just came out today, I believe, is a trailer talking about it being revealed in June. With a PlayStation logo, which leads me to believe that PlayStation might have the marketing deal for Battlefield 6. So all of the people that were saying, oh, Battlefield 6 would be on Game Pass, that does not feel likely if that's the case. So there's that. But I'm excited for Battlefield 6.
Me too.
Feels like it's going back to kind of the modern combat.
I hope so. Because much as I like the last ones, I don't know. I kind of got burnt out on those, so I'm ready for the modern stuff again.
I want to feel the magic of Battlefield Bad Company. I remember when that game came out and we would play online. We had so much fun with the instructable environments and the craziness of it all. And then it just felt like they kept adding all the bells and whistles and it got away from kind of what made it good. So, it's still good, mind you, but I really hope they can recapture that feeling. I enjoyed, that game a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was something very, very nice about driving a tank up in front of a wall and shooting it and blowing a bit of wall away. That was magical back then.
Now,
it's just accepted, but back then that was like, wow.
Yeah, it was unique. It was different. And there was nothing more fearful than when a tank came onto the scene. Your squad, you were scrambling because you knew the tank, you know, definitely was a threat. Whereas now, feels like a tank comes on scene and within seconds it's destroyed. Sony has officially launched their page on Steam. So for all those that were wondering how vested Sony was going to be in PC games, feels like they're going to be pretty invested in PC games. So they have officially launched their Steam page. It lists like over 47 different entries within there. Obviously, some games, a lot of DLC as well. Nothing future game wise right now, so we don't have kind of that future view of what might be coming. But I think it's really safe to say this is going to be part of Sony's new direction as well. That they're going to, like Microsoft, embrace releasing some games onto PC. I'm not going to be surprised if we don't see some of those big hitters get a 1 year window on the console and then release onto PC. It just feels like that is the direction they're going, and then it's a way for them to make a ton more money. Any thoughts on Sony coming to PC? I mean, do you think it's a good move for Sony? Do you think it's a bad move? I know certain fans are not happy about it. Because they feel like it's diluting the need for a PlayStation. And I suppose in some respects that's true.
Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. And again, I think it's the future, like Discord. because it's coming closer and closer to completely digital devices that are now like an Amazon USB stick. It'll come installed in your TV. Your TVs will have hard drive space as it gets cheap, solid state hard drive space to download games, whether it be good streaming or download the game to play. The days of consoles are numbered.
Interesting.
This will be it's going to come down to as the technology gets better, the speeds get faster. I'm digressing here. I think it's a good thing. Just like Xbox and PC, now you've got Sony and PC, and for the reasons that people love PCs and graphic cards and all the other bits and pieces, well, those people are never going to touch a console. Their consoles are below those people. So that means Sony isn't getting any of their love whatsoever, unless they're really, really dedicated and just want to play The Last of Us or something like that, some exclusive. And now they're still going to get the game sale, but not the hardware sale. And as we know from Xbox news of late, and generally with console sales anyway for the first couple of years, the companies don't make an awful lot of money out of the hardware. It's the software.
Unless you're Nintendo.
It's the software and your Game Pass or your Sony Live. That's where the money is. That's where the money is. Yeah. So I think it's a good thing.
Yep.
Get over yourselves.
Kim, out of curiosity, would you, and I don't know, obviously the power of the machines in the home dictate a lot of this, but do you ever play games on your laptop or your PC at all, or is this
not very often? No. My new laptop, I think it could handle some, but it's definitely not a gaming machine. And honestly, with my internet, even though it is faster than what I used to have, because I found this out with Stadia and some of the other stuff, I still can't run things smoothly because, like the X Cloud, it still doesn't work right for me, even with my cellular data. It still doesn't work right for me. It still crashes and all that stuff. So, you know, unless my internet suddenly gets upgraded in the next few years, who knows? I mean, hopefully at some point, because honestly, for me, if I was to get a better speed internet, that would actually cost me more money, because the highest one they have is like $100 a month. Ooh. So, yeah, and that's only like 100 megs.
Okay.
Yeah. So, then I'm not really sure. I've got 100 megs, man. Right. Right. I've got 30 now. Is that's what I'm paying for now, and that's 80, like $85 a month already. So.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely have a long way to go in terms of infrastructure in the U.S. That's just because it's such a big country. It's not an easy thing for us to do. Not to say that it's an easy thing for any country to do, but I think obviously if you're a smaller country, not quite as much cable to lay down.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we will keep an eye on that. It'll be curious to see what the next big game that is that comes out to Sony PC. It's a weird thing to say. Right. Then again, so is saying a Sony title on an Xbox. And I've been playing the crap out of MLB. So
there you go.
Cats and dogs living together. It's mass hysteria.
Pandemonium.
Yep. All right. And for the, I think it's the last news story. Second to last news story. There we go. But the second to last news story. So there's a movie director out there. He made the horror movie in 2013 called Frankenstein's Army. I believe his name is Richard Raphorst. I could be totally butchering that. But anyway, he's a Dutch director. He has made a claim that Resident Evil Village has copied his monster design. And so I put it in our notes. I don't know if, Robin, you can put it up on screen, or if you already have maybe the comparison image of his design and the monster design from Resident Evil. But basically, it's a big monster with a like an airplane propeller in its head to basically kind of chop you up type thing. I gotta say, now comparing the two images, he may have a point.
Mm-hmm.
He really might have a point, because it feels awfully, awfully similar. And he said pretty much they just straight up copied his design, and not even just took parts of it, but like just copied it completely. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch, because obviously I think this is a potential court case copyright infringement type scenario. Obviously also you be the judge as you look at it yourselves. And those comparisons are out there. I think I pulled the comparison on my end from IGN.
Yeah. You know what? It's not going to affect me, because I ain't playing the son of a bitch whatsoever.
I'm really tempted by this game. I'm very tempted. I've been hearing such good things about it. It's not a long game as well, which oddly for me is a bonus. Because I don't think I want this game to be a long game. If it's a horror game, shorter is better.
I just did the shells. Nope.
I'm like you. I like sleeping peacefully, so I'll pass.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. And then the last news story, and this is just an interesting one. So Housemarque, who made the game Returnal, they are a third party studio, so they're not owned internally by Sony, although they've worked on pretty much Sony only titles of late. But they said that they found out that Returnal's price tag would be $70 the same time as the general public did. The director, Michael Havari, had said that they had been showing internal demos of Returnal, and that every time they showed it to Sony, Sony was impressed and kind of upped the budget for the game, scoped it out to a larger game. And so it kept kind of growing. And it became the first game that sold for more than $60. And that was a first, not only for them, but I believe also for Sony. So I think this was the first $70 Sony game. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I hope it's, I want Housemarque to get and have success with this game, but then there's a part of me that wants to see it fail miserably because of the price point. I don't feel we're at a point where we need to have $70 games. And I know some people are like, oh, what's the big deal? Blah, blah, blah. Games are more expensive to make. I don't know. Right now, in the face of everything we're going through, seeing something being $70, even though it's only $10 more, it's still $10 more. It's just another little pull at my pocketbook, and I'm kind of over it.
This developer is full complaining?
Well, I think they're just... not so much faux complaining. I think it's more they had been asked the question of, you know, when did you decide to make the game $70? And they're like, we didn't. And we didn't know it was going to be $7 until it actually came out to the public, which is interesting. It also kind of gives you some perspective in terms of how Sony is handling their third-party developers that they're publishing the game. So this is considered a first-party game because Sony's publishing it.
Okay.
And Sony has final say on those aspects. And so they said it's going to be $70. And Housemarque, I don't think, really had a say in it. So that's also interesting. Just more inside baseball for us when it comes to the workings of the game industry. We've gotten so much incredibly detailed and in-depth news over the past few weeks. And I also want to take this moment to yell at Pete. Because Pete was talking about the Apple Epic court case last week and how he's like, oh, this doesn't matter. I don't really care about this. The stuff coming out of that court case has been incredibly enlightening. It has shown us so many things happening in the background of these companies and what they've been doing. I think about Epic Games and how, you know, and I know the document I put up was very hard to read, but that document, what it was showing was all the games that Epic is purchasing to get onto their platform and give away as free games. You know, it was a Netflix play, if you will. They were giving away games to get more people to sign up. And in that document, in that chart, they showed actually how much Epic paid for the game, how many new subscribers they got for that releasing of the game. And then there was also the buyout price, which is they could buy kind of exclusivity to that game into their and keep it free forever type thing. So that all was really interesting to see. And that's the price of acquisition. So think of it that way. They were willing to spend millions of dollars with these different games to get people into their store, create accounts, and then be able to market to them. So that's no different than what Microsoft is doing with Game Pass. It's no different than what kind of Netflix did early on with their subscription push, where they were really selling Netflix at a very inexpensive price, all things comparatively speaking. You know, they included streaming for free with disc-based subscriptions with Netflix early on because they want you to sign up. That's the future. It is all about user engagement. And it's going to be, as Robin said, less and less about the hardware. So anyway, all right, that's the news.
Okay.
Kim, we've got some video games coming up.
We do indeed. All right. Your new releases for May 16th through the 22nd are Days Gone for the PC on May 18th, SnowRunner for the Switch on May 18th as well, Aerial Knights Never Yield for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 19th, Elite Dangerous Odyssey for the PC on the 19th as well, The Wild at Heart for the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC on the 20th, Knockout City for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 21st, Miitopia for the Switch on the 21st as well, and last and certainly not least, Rust for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on the 21st as well. And those are your new releases.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Rust?
Yes.
Rust, is this?
Rust.
Rust?
Rust.
I'm tempted about Rust, but I'll also say this. I'm more tempted to go back to PUBG than I am Rust.
Charlie, my son Charlie, is playing lots of Rust at the moment. Between F1 driving sim and my driving rig that he has now procured into his room. But Rust is a big, big thing. It does.
Yeah.
Compared to what it was way back when I was
fiddling around with it. It just it is absolutely fantastic looking now. So I don't know where will the PlayStation and the Xbox jump on that development scale, you know?
Yeah, that is a question, because we've seen that before where we have PC-centric games, like DayZ is one that comes to mind, where it releases onto the consoles, and it was definitely not what people had hoped for. It was definitely more janky. The thing that intrigues me about Rust is I still go back to our good friend Gary DeFelice and them playing Rust with Nicole, and Nicole getting, I guess, disconnected, and her body was just there. And they literally like shot her, set her on fire, and so the fun times that are you know, those kinds of games. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. All right, Robin.
Yeah.
Please tell me about victories achieved.
Just one victory achieved this week, and it's very disturbing, actually. very disturbing victory achieved. Let me see if I can just quickly add a photograph. So, John Mouse has been going through, where did I see it? I didn't even see the flipping image. Sorry. He's been going through, and I'm not going to do that to the public. It would shock them. He's been going through his Assassin's Creed games, playing through them all, and he's just finished this week Assassin's Creed Unity. And he said, it's safe to say he did not enjoy this one. I didn't want to put a sad face after completing it, so I faked this one for you. It's supposed to show joy. This photograph. What is it? I don't know. Do you know what? Spy Kids. Do you know Spy Kids? And there's the Fooglies, the monsters. He looks like a Foogly in this right now. It's like
he stepped on a Lego.
I think is Kim might have it there. That looks like there's pain involved in this picture. I am just going to say this now. I'm going to blast him on Twitter with this picture because I think this needs to be seen by the world and should not be relegated to an email or just a one-time post. This needs to be a reoccurring image that is brought to the world.
Oh, we're going
to
use this image. We're going to use
it. Yeah.
Yeah, poor Johnny Ninetoes.
Anyway, victory achieved. He's completed a victory. He finished the game to the credits, took a selfie of himself with the credits in the background. He tweeted that off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved, and he's entered a draw to win money. And that's it once every 3 months, January, February, March, April, May, June will be the next draw. And you can win £15 or $20, and that's all you have to do. So just finish your games, send in the photograph. You can tweet it there. You can send it by any way you want to. You can send it, put it on Facebook, on facebook.ocpod.com, or you can email it to podcast@ocpod.com, or put it in any of our WhatsApp groups. A lot of people have came away from Twitter. Myself would be one of them. So you can just do your victory achieved any way you want to, and you'll still be entered in the draw. So, So congratulations. Get your entries in. And for that, in the meantime, you're going to kind of get this sort of thing here. And it's this one that's here. And then I've moved things around too much.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
Yeah. Good luck, John. Love your podcast. Love your work.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I'm already putting him on blast on Twitter. All right. I guess that brings us to kind of the end of the show. Look, if you've been with us this far, thank you so much. This is a community podcast. It's all about the community. We have a push to make something bigger of our community, and that's being stewarded by Fraser Moores. So this idea of expanding VG HubNet into kind of a more global channel for our community to basically stream into and have podcasts in and have kind of a single destination of where it all hits and happens, as opposed to all these different individual channels. It's a novelly great, cool idea that's going to require a lot of scheduling and back-end shenanigans. But I think you can pull it off. I have faith in our Canadian brother. So, not really. Anyway. To that, though, Fraser, we are with you. We stand at the ready.
and also 1 foot out the door. Yeah.
Groovy.
Yeah, groovy. Let's see. Robin, give some shout-outs.
Pete, you're ginger. You have ginger pubes. You are. I was walking through the forest yesterday morning with the kids, and I seen a woman out walking, and she had 3 gingers with them in the forest. They were like, I don't know if she was walking them or she had found them in the forest, but, I mean, is that where gingers come from? Do you just dig them up randomly in the forest and then take them home and dye their hair? Mark, get your ass back on this show, okay? Pretty simple. Agreed. We need you back here. Come back now. Next, Phil. Yes, get back as soon as you can. We forgot about everybody else because they're so friggin' unreliable. If you want to be part of the show, contact Greg. Send him a little email. He would love to hear from you at podcast@ocpod.com if you'd like to come on to the show. Really, come along. Sit in for a week or two and see how you fit. Can you do it? Will you do it? And will you fit in? That's all we need. Those 3 things. Can you do it?
It's true.
Will you do it? Will you fit in? That's it. Come in. Anyway, yes, everybody that's listening, great. Lovely to see Boomer in there, the star of the week, wanting to know all about dongs in Rust. It's a dong game. It's all about dongs. And Lord in there, Liron, and anybody else was in lurking around. It's lovely to see the chat going along there. Kim, talk about nice things.
All right, I want to shout out you two, as always. It was a fun show. It usually is, so I'm not sure why that's surprising. Yes, a shout out to Boomer and Lord for being in the chat. Let's see, we've had some viewers. I assume they're viewing us anyway. There was Commander Root. Another TTV viewer was in there. And Disabit. And there was Ditsabit, sorry. And a streamer's area, but I'm assuming that's a bot, more than likely. But anyway, like I said, shout out to Boomer and Lord, because they were actually in the chat. So, yeah.
They were in the trenches.
Yeah, they were actually there. They put up with my bullshit. So, thanks to them. Otherwise, hopefully everybody has a good week. Yeah. Xbox Series X coming soon. So, nice. Pictures to follow, and I will not flash my address yet again. So, I will make sure of that. My address. Nothing else. We'll see. Depends how much whiskey I have. Yeah. Anyway, carry on. Over to you, Greg.
All right. Yes. look, you can flash your boobs. You can flash part of your address. Don't flash your boobs and your address together.
Right.
That will definitely be a bad idea.
Right.
Yeah. And speaking of dong games, if you truly want the ultimate dong game, it is Cyberpunk. Because let's just say there's plenty of options, as well as circumcision options. Here. So, yeah. All right. I want to shout out Robin for calling out Mark, for calling out Phil, and calling out the Ginger Mongoose, because they need to be called out. I want to shout out you, Kim, for making the show as well. You have been a steady hand guiding us along, helping us every week. So we need to acknowledge that. Acknowledge Robin, of course, as well. Let's see, a post shout out to Mother's Day, to all the mothers in the world, that I love you, cause who doesn't love a good mother? Yeah, stay tuned to the show. Come back. We'll be on next weekend. We'll be on the weekend after that and after that and after that. It's like that old, there was a commercial and so on and so on and so on. So it's just, we just keep going. We don't stop. That's what we do.
Yep.
Yeah. So that being said, Robin, I know you're busy doing things other than the show, but if you could close us out.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.